And as you're standing, I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to share more with you tomorrow night at prayer. Join us 7 to 8 o'clock. We're a people of prayer. That's what we believe. But this leads us into our sermon series that I began last week, A Righteous House. God has called us to live righteously. It's a challenging topic because if we're not careful, people would like to add a word on the beginning of that, self-righteous. When you think about righteousness, sometimes people are like, oh, you think you're so righteous. So no, we don't want to be self-righteous, comparing ourselves to one another. We recognize that the righteousness is only comes from the grace of God. It's not by my works. It's not my ability. But because of the righteousness of God, I will live the rest of my life responding to that righteousness. And so today I'm going to continue in this series, the book of Nehemiah. A very familiar passage when you're talking about building, rebuilding the wall, Jerusalem. And last week my message was preaching to the gap. We all have a gap in our life of the people we think we are, but the things that we struggle with. And so I hope that you preach to that gap yourself this week. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. King James says this way, "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." My sermon title today is A House Worth Building, A House Worth Protecting. You can be seated in Jesus' name. You know, yesterday we gathered together, the men of our church, we had a men's breakfast and a wonderful time. And if you were there, you know this without me even saying it, but I would say that it was a supernatural time. And that may not be something you would normally characterize a men's breakfast, but there was such a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit and an edification where men came together and studied the Word of God and challenged one another and bore one another's burdens. And I went home and there were so many things I wrote down and I shared and I thought. And so some of those things I'm going to share today. But I just want to tell you, as again, we've talked about building a righteous house, a house of righteousness. And yes, if you are a family with children in the home, this applies to you. But if you're a young adult today and you're living on your own, or maybe you're trying to figure out where you are, you have a responsibility to build a house of righteousness. If you're a married couple without children in your home, that does not negate the necessity of building a righteous house. If you're an elder in our church, you're someone that's older and that season of your life is gone where your children out of the home, you still have a responsibility to have a righteous house. And so today, there's two areas I want to speak to and challenge you. I'm going to challenge you today. Number one, I want to tell you that you have to build the right things inside your house. It's up to you to build the right things in your house. And number two, you've got to protect your house from the wrong things outside. I'm telling somebody today that you've got to build your house. You've got to build the right things in your house, and you've got to protect your house from the wrong things. And we're going to talk about that today. Nehemiah begins the fourth chapter of Nehemiah. I'm going to read some from the New Living Translation. Just the conversational nature of this translation makes it easy to read in kind of more of our vernacular. But we see this in the opening of this chapter. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. You need to understand something. Whenever you make a decision in your life, in your house, to build something for God, the enemy takes notice and he attacks. It is a fact of life. And what's amazing about this is, and I'm just saying this because I'm using the term building, but really they were actually rebuilding something. So let me also tell you, in your life, you may not be building. You may be having to do the process of rebuilding something that was broken, or maybe rebuilding something that was never built correctly in the first place. But whenever you make the decision, I'm going to build something in my life that would honor God, the enemy will attack you. But let me just tell you, you have to make a decision to build your house in a way that honors God. You've got to build a house. There is a house that is worth building. And let me just speak to those that you have children in your home. You need to understand this. The decisions that you make, the house that you build, is the only house they will know. The world that you create for them through your decisions will be the only world that they know exists. So you better make sure that you make God-honoring decisions. Because whatever you build, that's going to shape the way they see the world, the way they see you, and the way they see God. And I'm going to give you a personal example. I'm going to be very transparent today, very real, just in my own life. And I have a personal conviction myself for having a physical Bible. Now, I'm not necessarily trying to say you have to do what I do, but I'm using this as an example to illustrate my point. I understand that my children, we have three children, two daughters and a son. They are 7, 5, and 18 months. They grow up in a digital society. I know that. But I want to make a decision in my life that if Claire, who's our oldest, if she wakes up early in the morning, if she gets up before everyone else, and she comes in and dad is not in the bedroom, I don't want her to have to wonder. I wonder where my dad is. I want her to know exactly where I am, because I'm going to be in the same place I am early in the morning for me. I want her to know if I go downstairs and I go in the office, I know exactly where dad's going to be. He's going to be in the Word of God and he's going to be praying. And I've just made a decision in my mind that she can see one of two things. Now, I love the Bible. I'm preaching from my iPad. I love the Bible in a digital format. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying, but I've made a decision. She can see one of two things. Either she's going to see this, even if I'm reading the Bible, just hear me out. She's going to see this, or she's going to come down and she's going to see this. I'm not denigrating digital. What I'm saying, though, is I want to send a clear signal to my family that you know what it means to be a Christian. It means that we come to church on Sunday, but on Monday, we're in the Word. It means on Tuesday afternoon, I'm going to be in the Word. It means that I'm going to build a house where you know that the Word of God is at the center of my life. And so this is going to be a familiar fixture in our home, not a dust-laden Bible in a corner in a bookshelf, but a living Word, a Word that's written in where you know He's written the Word of God. So send a clear signal, Mom. Send a clear signal, Dad. And I'm not saying you can't read a Bible on your phone. I'm just trying to tell you that there's going to be some decisions that you make, because if not, the danger is that your children will grow up thinking, you know what Christians do? They go to church on Sunday and that's it. But we will build a broken house for them. If their house is a house where, yes, we say that we go to church, but there's no prayer in my home, there's no Bible reading in my home, none of those things matter. I'm telling you, I can't do that for you. They're going to come in here and expect to hear a pastor behind the pulpit preaching the Word. But if you're not at home preaching the Word, you are going to hamper everything that God is trying to do in your house. I'm trying to tell somebody today that you have a house worth building, but you've got to make some decisions. I'm going to build my house, and this is going to be a house where we honor God, where we read the Word, and you hear the things of God. We continue reading in the story, verse 7. When Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Ammonites and Ashdodites heard the work was going ahead and the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Look at verse 9. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. They prayed and they guarded the city. Let me tell somebody, prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. You have to have prayer, but prayer and action go hand in hand. They prayed and they set a guard. Let me tell you today, prayer is a part of the answer, but you also have to set a guard in your life. You have to understand where the places are that need to be filled. Prayer is great, but you need to set a guard of accountability in your life. Yes, please come to church and pray to the Lord, but you need to set some accountability standards in your marriage. You need to set a guard over your home to protect it from anything that would come in. Maybe for you it looks like giving your wife unfettered access to your phone. I personally can't imagine a world where my wife could not look to my phone, or I would have fear or worry about what she would or wouldn't find. Maybe setting a guard looks like giving your husband access to all of your digital footprint. How terrible would it be if my life was lived? I just can't even imagine that sort of framework. Listen, my wife picks up my iPad sometimes and she'll respond to text messages for me that I forgot about. Thank you, Jesus. So if you get a text message, you're like, man, Pastor sounds super nice. It's my ghostwriter. No, she helps me. But what am I saying? Yes, pray, do that. But also take action. Set a guard in your life. Stop just saying, well, God, I'm just going to pray that you would help me resist temptation next time I'm tempted. Why would you resist a temptation tomorrow that you can eliminate today? What I'm saying is set a guard over your home, take action, and change some things that you know you need to fix today. You're not going to fight a different fight every day. No, it's probably the same one or two fights that you battle every time. So set a guard over your life. Prayer is great, but so is that passcode. Verse 10, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired. There's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Listen, I know that you are tired when you get home from work. But you've got to stop giving yourself a pass for not investing into your family. And I'm just going to be real with you because I know what it's like. To be in a position as the senior pastor of First Church Sterling Heights, I love it. It's what I'm called to. I'm so thankful to be here. I could not be doing anything else with my life. This is the only thing I could do with my life. The way I feel about ministry, if you can do something else and be happy doing it, you probably need to do that. This needs to be something that this is the only thing I can do. I could not get away from this if I wanted to. This is exactly what I have to be doing with my life. This is what God has called me to do. So don't. I'm not trying to say poor, pitiful. I'm trying to be a little transparent. I'm trying to open the curtain of my life a little bit. There are times when I am utterly exhausted from conversations, from high level decisions I've got to make, from understanding that the weight of my words. I have to be very measured and make sure that I am just. If I can say this way, that you're just on, right? And so sometimes when I get home, it would be so easy to turn the keys in my truck, breathe a sigh of relief, and say, my day is over. Now I can relax. But there's two things I do, some self-talk. I'm just going to tell you what I do. Number one, and this is about building the house. When I pull in my driveway, this is what I tell myself. Because if not, I am susceptible to fail. I am susceptible to fall, okay? I'm not saying I'm a superhero. I'm telling you, I've got to do things. Otherwise, I will make mistakes. This is what I say. I pull into my driveway, turn the truck off, and I say, the best part of my day is about to begin. The best part of my day is about to begin. Because God forbid that I would spend all of my energy building some man-made corporation or something that's going to die and be burned up while I neglect the eternal house that God has called me to build at home. God forbid. I say the best part of my day is about to begin because you can always justify not investing because you got some great reasons. So that's what I do to build. The other thing I say is sometimes I will, you know, have a tense conversation. You know, I use the commute to and from the church to make some important phone calls and those things happen. And you know what it's like to squeeze those calls in or in your job or whatever you do and whatever you're, you know, in your life. But to me, I have to understand this. If I'm not careful, I will bring all of that home to my family and I will bleed all over my wife and children for the rest of the evening. So this is what I have to say. If I have a difficult conversation, and again, it's part of my calling. Please understand me. I'm not disparaging what God has called me to do. But I also have to understand that's my responsibility to build my house and protect it. So this is what I say when I pull in the house. I say the best part of my day is about to begin. And then if I'm handling something that I know someone else's problem, what I'll say is, Kaylee, Claire, Elise, and Christian do not deserve, fill in the blank with that person, this person's problems. They don't deserve their problems today. But I am the gatekeeper of that. And you are the gatekeeper of your house. And you've got to make sure some of those things don't get into your home. And I've got to make sure to guard my children. And I'm just going to be, again, very honest because this is unique to my circumstance. But I'm sharing this because I believe there's some decisions like this that you have to make in your life, in your family, and what's happening with you. Again, right now, our children are young. And I believe a lot of what I would say the traditional ideas of you know, the way children should be able to behave and, you know, not running in and just interrupting adult conversation and waiting. And I believe in those things. But I also understand this is very unique. My wife and I, you know, it's a very unique role here that if I'm not careful, when we come onto this campus, our children will know this as a place that their parents reject them. If I'm not intentional and I don't steward this well, Claire, Elise, and Christian will grow up knowing that when I pull into church, my parents neglect me because everyone else needs them. So what does that look like? I'm going to just tell you, if I get done preaching and you want to come and speak to me, please do so. I hope I'm not overplaying what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to admonish our church. I'm trying to just let you in on my life a little bit and be transparent. If you want to come speak to me and share something the Lord is speaking to you or something happening, I want to hear it. I want to talk about it. Please do so. But I've made the decision, if my daughter runs out of Sunday school with a little drawing that she wants to show me and she runs down and she interrupts our conversation, what you're talking about may be very, very consequential. But she needs 20 seconds. And then she's going to move on. So I may say, hey, I'm sorry. Just 1 second. And I may acknowledge her, say, I love you. That is so beautiful. Because in just 5 seconds, she's going to go run on and start begging somebody for a mint or break into somewhere or steal a snack or a drink. Okay, like she's about to be on with her day. But I've got to make that decision because here's the deal. If I spend so much time and I neglect my family, then they're going to stop knowing when I'm gone. They're going to stop recognizing my absence. And we're just going to pull on to this church, and they're going to get old enough that she's not going to say a word. She's going to hop out of the truck and just run in because she knows, bye, Dad. See you later. And that's where I am as the pastor. That's where I have to, where I've got to figure this out because I'm called to serve. I'm called to carry your burdens. I'm called, all those things, those conversations I want, I invite, but I can't do it to the neglect of my house. I can't lose my house over it. I can't lose my family over it. I'm speaking about me, but you got to make some decisions that, Lord, no matter what, there's some decisions that I'm going to make. No matter how inconvenient, no matter how much energy it takes from me, there's some things I'm not going to do. Why? Because you've called me to build my house, and I'm going to protect my house. I've got to protect my house. And while I'm being messy, there's one more thing, and I'll move on, I promise. But if you have children at home, do not come to me and tell me I don't have purpose in life. I don't know what my purpose is. What's my purpose? Let me tell you, God has put purpose right under your roof. You've got a purpose to raise those children in the love and the admonition of God. Don't come talk to me about purpose. Your purpose is to build your house and protect that house and raise those children where they love God and they know the things of God and you steward your relationships. You've got a God-given purpose, a holy purpose, a divine purpose. Oh, I want my purpose to be fulfilled. If I succeed at work and fail at home, what have I done? If I succeed at work and fail my family, what kind of man am I? If I preach beautiful sermons, but my children don't love God, what have I done? If you pat me on the back and say, great job, Pastor, and my children barely know what it's like to hear my voice, who am I as a man? I've got to build my house. I'm just being real with you because you've got to build your house. You're the only one that can build it. I can't build your house. I can implore you. I can show you. But mom and dad, young adult, elder, you've got to make a decision today. Nobody else is coming to build my house. I'm the only one that can do it. God has given it to me, and I will build my house and protect it. We move on. It says in verse 11, meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived nearby, near the enemy, came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. Look what happened. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. So the only way that he could adequately guard the exposed areas is Nehemiah or somebody would have to go through and inspect the wall and find out the places that there were some exposed inadequacies. He had to make sure that he was spending time understanding where the problems are. So let me just tell somebody, you need to wake up and start investing in your family and understand, where are the cracks in my marriage? Where are the exposed areas in my children's lives? You better be able to identify those places, because if you can't set a guard about the exposed areas, you might as well just open the gate and let the enemy come right in. Nehemiah said, we inspected the wall and we set guards at the right places. So you need to set a guard over your life. You need to guard those areas that are struggling, and you need to understand that. You've got a job to do to build your house, and you've got a job to do to protect your house. Yes. You've got to do it. You're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can do it. And let me just say this right now. There's some things that you've got to fight off from the outside. But there's some things that you have to protect your house from the inside. Because some enemies are on the outside trying to get in, and some enemies are on the inside trying to get out. And I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about your flesh. And one of the ways that we see in Scripture most commonly connected with flesh is lust. Every single person, you have to fight the battle of lust in your life. I know this is not popular preaching, but this is what we need to hear, because you got to build your house, you got to protect your house, and you're the only one that can do it. Look at what Romans says, Romans 6 and verse 12. We're talking about righteousness. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as," look at this, "instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Oh Lord, I want my life to be an instrument of righteousness unto you. But if there is lust in my home, if there is lust in my life, then I will become an instrument of unrighteousness. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm trying to show you the word of God and stand boldly and tell you, if you've got lust in your life, you are letting unrighteousness reign in your body. You are letting unrighteousness reign in your house. But submit yourself to God and become an instrument of righteousness. Galatians 5:16 says it this way. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I know you just want to do some things. I know you just want to relax, but I'm sorry to tell you, your flesh and your spirit are at war with each other. So you better wake up and get ready to fight the battle, because if you don't fight, you're giving up. If you don't fight the battle every day, you're going to give in to the enemy. Do not let yourself be pulled by the lust of your flesh. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I'm trying to tell somebody, you've got to make sure that you're also protecting your house from the enemies that are on the inside trying to get out. And we continue, Nehemiah 4:19. Then I explained to the nobles and all the officials and the people, the work is very spread out. Do you ever feel that way in your family? Man, I'm working nights. She's working days. She's going to school. I just feel like our marriage, our family, I just feel spread thin. We're so busy. We're spread thin. So what do we do? How do we do? We can't even feel like we get on the same page. The work is very spread out. And we are widely separated from each other along the wall. You ever feel that way? I just feel pulled. I just feel separated. So what do we do? Verse 20, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding. Then God will fight for us. You need to understand that the trumpet, we see all throughout Scripture, notates divine communication, notates a call to action, notates the call of the Lord. So let me tell somebody today that there is danger of separation in your house. So how do you overcome this separation? How do you overcome when you're going this way and that way? At some point, there has to be a clear sound in your home, that when the battle commences, when the enemy comes in, you're going to hear the trumpet of the Word of God, and we're going to rally together, and we're going to get in the fight. We're not going to stay separated. When you hear the trumpet sound, we are going to fight together. What does that mean? Maybe you need to say, you know what, family, we're having prayer tonight. I know I'm tired. I know you're busy, but we got to stop everything else we're doing. I got to blow a trumpet and say, there's some danger. There's some attack. Mom and dad, you got to be able to stop what you're doing and say, tonight we're having family prayer. We're going to read the Word of God together. We're going to have family devotion. We're going to sit down at the table. I don't care what your schedule. We're going to eat a meal together. We're going to look each other in the face and have conversation. What is that? That's the sound of a trumpet rallying those that are separated. I'm calling you to build your house and protect your house. By nature, your family will begin to be spread out here and there. So you better make sure that there is a clear sound that can come from your house that will draw everyone to the sign of the attack. Because when you do that, God will fight for you. But you have to have a clear sound. And then he says, we worked early and late, sunrise to sunset. Half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with the guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, my relatives, my servants, none nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Let me tell somebody, what is this saying? He's saying, no matter what, no matter where you found us, we were ready for battle. You never caught me unprepared for a battle. They weren't perfect. I'm not saying being perfect. What I'm saying is there has to be a call from within us that says, I am going to hold myself to a higher standard. What good is a dad that dresses up on Sunday and looks the part and bites your tongue at your family just to close the door of your car and begin spewing hatred at your family the minute you leave this parking lot? What good is a dad that seems ready for battle today but is yelling at your wife and cruel to your kids on Monday or Tuesday? What good is a wife that seems so sweet and kind at church but behind closed doors just spews vile out of your mouth? I'm trying to tell somebody, you got to hold yourself to a higher standard, and you got to say, no matter where I am, you're not going to find me unprepared to do spiritual battle. I'm going to be the same person on a Sunday at noon as I am on a Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I'm saying be ready for battle, because you never know when you're going to have to build your house, and you never know when you got to protect your house. But you got to make a decision. No matter what, I'm going to be ready for battle. Oh, God, help us to build our house. Oh, God, help us to wake up today and stop giving ourselves excuses and build our house. And let me tell you this. The problem is, I mentioned this a little bit last week. You judge yourself and build your self-opinion on your best day when everything is going right. When they get your Starbucks order perfectly correct, there's no cars in the line. It's just parted like the Red Sea. When Chick-fil-A is right there, the fries are hot, the Lord's chicken is ready, and your kids just happily sing all the way home. You say, that's who I am. I am measured. I am calm. But the problem with that is when you are stressed and tested, when you break and become the person that your habits have built you into, like we talked about last week, you justify it because you say, well, I made a mistake, but that's who I normally am. Let me tell you, you are who you are when you are tested. You are who you are when the pressure is on. That's who you really are. But as long as you deny, I have a problem and I need to address it, as long as you deny that and you keep pretending like you really are the perfect person that it happens once in a lifetime, then you will never address and recognize the unrighteousness in your own life. You will always have a justification. You will always have an excuse. You will always have a reason why it's somebody else or something else. You know, there's a phenomenon of if you're the kind of person in driving, they say that if there's one time when all the stars align and you make it from one location to the next location, let's say a drive that normally takes 20 minutes, but one time it takes 10 minutes because maybe they're working on the traffic lights and it's all green lights. But in your mind, if you did it one time and it was 10 minutes, from now on, how long does it take to get there? Oh, 10 minutes. No, it doesn't. You did that one time. Every other day it takes 20 minutes. That may seem comical, but that's what we do with ourselves. Well, I'm a measured person. No, one time. When your kid fell asleep on the way home from school, you're like, hey, that was a great drive. Yeah, they were asleep. But if we're not careful, we'll make excuses for our own unrighteousness because of that we refuse to see ourselves in the reality of who we are. And trust me, I don't get it right all the time. I'm not trying to stand up here and be self-righteous. I'm telling you, I've messed up as a husband before. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've messed up as a father before. I've been harsh with my children. God help me, though, to see it and understand it and not say, well, I'm a perfect dad. No, let me say, God, I am full of unrighteousness. If I'm going to be righteous, it's going to be by your grace, and it's going to be because I take action every single day to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've got deficiencies, but I'm working on them. I'm going to put in the work today to be better than I was yesterday. I'll never be perfect, but you better believe I'm going to work hard. You better believe I'm going to be disciplined. You better believe I'm going to do everything I can to be the man of God that I'm supposed to be. Why? Because I've got a house worth building and I've got a house worth protecting. Oh, thank you, God. Let us wake up today, church. Wake up today. You got to put in the work and stop making excuses for yourself. Wake up and say, it's up to me. Nobody else is building my house. Nobody else is protecting my children. It's me and me alone. Stand with me today. I'm closing. I know I've been strong today. I don't make apologies for it, but I just want somebody to understand. And I want you to recognize, if we don't do this work, there's no one else that will do it. Our culture is trying to build houses on sand. If you just do whatever culture does, you're going to be washed away at the next storm. The next thing that happens will take you out. The next thing that happens is going to mess with your mind and your spirit so much that you're going to be swept away by the current of the day. But you've got to stand in this place and say, Lord, no matter what happens to me, you cannot shake me. Let me ask you this way. What does it take to break you? What does it take for your spouse to flip that switch in you? Recognize it. Stop acting like they did that. No. We have unrighteousness in each and every one of us. And it's up to me. I got to take responsibility for that. I'm trying to tell somebody today. Because here's the deal. Just like they looked on, they said, we can never rebuild this. There's too much rubble. There's so much stuff that's been destroyed. There's no way. I know that it may seem like that to you. But do you know who decided that you are a house worth building? The Lord did. He came, he looked at rubble and said, worth it. Worth it. He looked at your life and all the mess and all the junk and all the rubble and all the destruction, and he said, nope, that's a house worth building. I'm not going to condemn that house. You're not going to just tear down that house and bulldoze it. No, no, no. All those pieces, I can use that. Just wait till I get my hands on it. Wait till they just give it to me. Watch what I can do. So today, maybe you need to understand. Maybe it's less about building. Maybe it's more about rebuilding. Let me tell you where I am. I'm committed to building my house to honor the Lord. But you know what? I make mistakes. I let the enemy in an exposed area. I forget to guard something. I'm imperfect. I'm sorry. If you think I'm perfect, I hate to burst your bubble. I'm imperfect. So you know what I have to do? I have to do a lot of rebuilding all the time and make the decision, Lord, I'm going to rebuild. Now, I'm not saying leadership, it doesn't matter what I do. No, I'm committed to the Lord and committed to the lifestyle of leadership and all the expectation. But what I'm saying is, none of us are above making mistakes. So in your life, you will have to do tons of rebuilding all the time. And again, I recognize maybe if you're a parent and you have children at home, this probably is right where you are. I know it's where I'm. The examples I'm using are out of my own season of life. But even if you're not, please don't allow it to pass you by. Because you're the only one that can build your house. I don't care if you've been married for 40 years, you have no children at home, you've got to build your house. You've still got to protect your house. If you are new parents and you've got a child, please hear me today. Start building your house now. Build the way you communicate with your spouse. By the time your children are old enough to begin to really understand, which they're picking up so young, you can read the science. But today, I'm here to tell you that your house is a house worth building. It may seem like rubble right now, but God can rebuild what has been broken. And he has declared your house is a house worth building. And if it's a house worth building, it's a house worth protecting. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray. And we've got one to baptize today in Jesus' name. We're about to do a baptism, and God is building the house. That's something I cannot do. But today, I'm going to open these altars in just a moment, and I want to encourage every every married couple, I don't care if you've been married for 5 months or 50 years, I want to encourage you to make a commitment. Lord, we're going to come and we're going to build our house. We're going to look at our life. We're going to look at the exposed areas. Where are the cracks? Where are the things that we need to fix? Where are the things that we need to address? If you've got children at home, you got to make a decision. I can build the house. I'm the only one that can build the house. You need to stop making excuses for yourself and say, you know what? I've got to do better. I got to quit pretending like I'm the person I am one time every 5 years. No, the person I am is what my habits have led me to. So I've got to make some changes. I'm trying to wake somebody up today. I know this has been very practical, but it's got to get into your spirit, and you've got to take it from this place and do something with it, because the Word of God has challenged us to die to sin and to live for righteousness. So today, I'm here to declare that you have a house worth building, and you are the only one that can build it, and you are the only one that can protect it. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray over you right now, and then I'm going to invite you to come. Jesus, I pray that your Word would shake us today. Lord, I pray that we would not leave this place apathetic. I pray that we would wake up and we would say, I've got to make some changes, each and every one of us. Lord, I'm not trying to shame anybody. I pray that there is not an ounce of condemnation, but I do pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would lead us to repentance and lead us to change, to say, Lord, it's me. I've got to do some things differently, because I don't want my house to go in the direction it's going. Or maybe, Lord, I've got to rebuild some things that I've allowed to be torn down. Or maybe it's, Lord, I've let the enemy in and I've got to get him out. Or maybe it's I'm protected from outside, but the enemy is within me. I've got to conquer my flesh. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that we would not leave this house until we've settled our house. I pray that we would not depart from this house until we've made some decisions about our hearts. In Jesus' name, right now, would you come and pray? Would you come to these altars, and would you seek the face of God? You can come down and pray, or you can kneel right where you are in your chair. You don't have to come to this altar, but I want to encourage somebody today to make the decision. I'm going to build my house. I'm going to protect my house, and I'm going to do everything within my power to be a righteous house, not because of my strength, but because of His grace and what He has done. Oh, let's pray across this place.